One of the things that God laid on my heart this week is, you know, everybody, how many's been doing gifts? Everybody, right? Giving kids gifts, receiving gifts and everything. I'm going to speak a little on that here in a second, but first of all, I want to read the kind of the Christmas story, I guess, or I want somebody else to read this. Who's a good reader? Who wants to read?
I can read it.
All right, come on up. Yeah. And we're going, if you got your Bibles, you can look, but Luke 1 and 26 through 45.
Okay.
And we'll stop there. Can you see? I'm
mm-hmm.
going to get my glasses because
yes,
I can't.
Yes, sir, I have mine. All right, Jesus' birth foretold. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged,
your Bible is weird,
to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God."
Amen.
And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now at this time Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it came about that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped into her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed among women are you, and blessed is the fruit of the womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped into my womb for joy." Let me spit it out. "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what he had spoken to her by the Lord."
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
What a story. Anybody, anything jump out at anybody through that scripture?
Impossible.
Nothing's impossible. Amen. What else?
Yeah, that going with Elizabeth getting pregnant at, you know, her old age. And,
mm-hmm.
Does that sound familiar?
Uh-huh.
Some of the stuff we've learned over the last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
What else?
How Elizabeth and John the Baptist, while he was in a room, was filled with the Holy Spirit.
Hmm.
That just is, it was the first time, historically, it's the first time in the New Testament.
The Holy Spirit come upon them.
The rest of the time, but God was filled with the Holy Spirit. That was a sign of what was to come for all of us. I mean, think about it. If the Holy Spirit, God was going to fill somebody with the Holy Spirit, don't you think it would have been a priest or a prophet or somebody really big? But no. He chose instead not a man even, but a woman.
Mm-hmm.
A woman. And he filled her. She was the first one to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That was cool.
Yes, amen. Anybody else? You've heard me say many times about the Beatitudes, right? And some of us are in CR. This is where that word bless, makuros, comes from. And in any other translations, blessed means like happy or something. But in this case, It means because she is filled with God. And so all of us, as born-again believers, you know, we need to understand how blessed we are because He loved us so much. You know, He didn't just go to the Father and sit down beside the right hand. He's there interceding for us, but He also sent another. And that is the Holy Spirit to come. And for the first time in our lives, come just like in this case, fill us with the power, that the Holy Spirit, like it says there. And so that word, so it makes a meaning of the Beatitudes. Blessed are they who mourn. Blessed are those, all the Beatitudes we learn and see are. That same word translate here, just in this is the first instance of that in the Bible, in the New Testament, of that same word, different than the other word. And I'm not going to go into that much, but it's understanding what it means to have God not only with us, but in us.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Nothing is impossible, like it said in the scripture there. The angel told her, you know, how can this be? Can you imagine? You know, girls, y'all understand, you're virgin, a little virgin girl. She said, wait a minute. Hey, I can't have a baby, right? How can this be? With God, all things are possible. Now, so today, I just want to really quickly just talk about Happy Birthday, Jesus. That was my message. And I got to thinking about, you know, if Jesus was right here today with us, okay, and He was in the flesh and He was sitting here, what would your present be to Him? What would your present be? Take Him home with you. Sherry said, I got a man. That's all right.
No, she said for him to take her home.
Oh, okay. I thought you said take Him home with me.
Yeah,
take me home. Well, you know, that too. What else, anybody? No, really, what do you think your present would be? To Jesus, you know? Would you run down?
She said, what do you get a man who has everything? Yeah.
That's right.
That well, was brilliant.
Very good. And that's going right to my point. That will preach. And I'm going right to my point. Anybody got anything else? Joe Cyphering, I'm thinking.
It's just some praise and worship.
Some praise and worship. Okay, what else?
Nothing with a cross on it.
Nothing with a cross on it. Okay. All right.
Myself.
Penny. Nailed the head. Here's the thing. Listen to it. It says in Romans 12:1. It says, beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye, what?
Present
your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So, Jesus wants us for His birthday. That's what He wants. It would be that present of you and I. And that's what He wants, you know. And that's what it would be, the perfect present for Him. But He also, how about your mind? He wants our minds too, because it says He can transform our minds. Now, in the word of Romans 12:2, the next verse says, be not conformed to what?
To
this world, but be transformed. What's transformed?
Changed,
right? By what? The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there's the proof's in the pudding. So He wants our mind also. And you're wanting to say something. Okay. Usually when she does that, she's wanting to say something. So I was wondering. All right. And one other quick thing is that Jesus wants us to present Him our hearts. He wants our hearts. Why does He want our hearts?
They lead us astray.
The hearts can lead us astray? Okay.
Well, I mean, really, why do we do most of what we do? Because of our hearts.
Yeah. And what does it talk about the heart?
It's deceitful.
It's deceitful. What else?
It's Satan.
Satan. No, it's not Satan, I hope. But it does say it's evil, so, you know, it's a neat, you know.
Wants your tender heart.
Huh?
Yes.
Very good, yes. Romans 5:5 says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit," or the Holy Ghost, "which is given unto us." And that's the same thing we're talking about. Mm-hmm. The hope, you know, our hearts. And so he also wants to give, wants us to give him our hands so that he can make them holy, lift them up, whether we're praising him or without anger or dissension. You know, somebody drives by you and cuts you off on the highway. He don't want the hand that we probably, in our old nature, would probably throw up at those people, right? Uh-huh. Nobody here would do that. Now, I know I'm just the only one, right, that used to be that way. But 1 Timothy 2:8 says, "Will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." So, also with our hands, he wants us to use them for his purpose, right? Yes. And to use them for his purpose is the same thing that he used them for our purpose. And we can look at the cross with that. When he was stretched out on a tree, he gave up everything to be nailed on that tree, be pierced in the middle of those hands that he gave. The blood that come out of those were healed by that same blood. Yeah. Everything that comes out of the blood that was shed from because of his love for us should be the same thing we share with the world. And if our ministry, if we put it on, if we get us a pull behind trailer for our outreach, that's one of the things I want to see. The Lord showed me one time in a dream that there, on the side of the ministry wagon or whatever it is that one day I'll have, are outstretched hands like this to reach, reaching out. And that's what we should be doing. You know, and we're doing that. Thank y'all so much for all you've done and are starting to do and everything else. We're reaching out to hurting and broken people who need that same love that Christ showed us. And so we need to understand that. Also, he wants us to give him our feet. And our feet, why would you think he'd want us our feet?
To follow him.
Very good. What else?
Be able to witness. Go door to door.
Go where he sends us.
Okay. Amen. What else?
Walk beside him.
Very good. Very good. What else? All these are good. Very good.
When you're kneeling, you're not standing on your feet.
Okay. Also, how about this? To walk in the Spirit.
Yeah.
We need to walk in the Spirit. It says to what? Not walk by sight or whatever, but...
Not walk by the flesh,
walk by the Spirit of God. In other words, every step we take, is this the way, Lord? You know, is this the direction for my life? You know, or am I trying to make myself go somewhere that I think I should go? We need to pray. We need to seek God on everything, every decision we make. Because, hey, in the flesh, we make some bad decisions.
Amen.
And on our own abilities, we make some bad decisions. And so he wants our feet. What is the part of the feet in the armor of God?
The gospel of peace.
The gospel of peace.
Our feet shod with the gospel of peace.
What does that mean?
Everywhere we go, we bring His peace.
Yes, so we're walking in peace. We're walking, when you walk into that place in the work and everybody's a backbiting and devouring, or you go amongst your friends and they're talking about, you're walking and you're shod up with your feet in the gospel of peace, and you walk in there and you walk in just like Jesus. And when you walk in that room, all of a sudden,
the atmosphere changes. You're walking in the Spirit of God. You bring the Spirit of God with you.
Yes.
Good. And when you walk in that place, there, everybody, bzz, bzz, preacher's here. Right? Anybody? I mean, I've got that. The other day I was down here doing a plumbing job for this sweetest man and woman, and the man got upset because the countertop guy was done some stuff, and they took the sink off, and he was mad because he wanted to give it to me. And it was a big, nice cat Kohler. You know what Kohler is, a cast iron sink. Boy, he was mad as an old hornet, you know. And she, his wife said, "Be quiet now. Don't say too much. The preacher's in the house." That was funny. I laughed. I said, "Don't change because of me." But it is that way, isn't it? When you walk into a place and God, y'all know your work front, your That's place right. where you go. They know if you're a Christian or not, don't you, Joe? When you walk in those places and they say, "Well, I love it." And sometimes they make comments that may not be feel good.
Yeah.
But that's all right. You know what that is? It's not about you.
Right.
It's about
him.
It's about them.
Right.
And it's about him. Because they're uncomfortable. When the light walks in the darkness, guess what? Right. The darkness got to go. Right. The light shines. Yes, Nick.
Every day at lunch at work, I pray over before my food. And when they first saw it, they're like, "Oh, he's praying." But now I've gotten to the point where everybody prays when they went to go eat lunch.
Wow.
Yes. Walk in the Spirit.
Yes.
Be the man, be the woman that changes the atmosphere around
That's
you.
That's right.
It don't matter where you work. It don't matter if you work in the bar, right? It don't matter if you work over here in the construction world that everybody in there cussing. It doesn't matter if you everybody in your place is they hate each other and they all want to kill one another and they'll backstab it. You walk in the peace, the gospel shod feet of Jesus, and you walk in that same anointing that God has given you and I. Amen?
Yes.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Psalms 37:23 tells us the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Whoa, here we go. That flesh has got to go if you're walking in the Spirit of God. Amen? All right, and he wants us to present to him our bodies so that they can be used as instruments of righteousness. What's righteousness?
Right standing with God.
Amen. Romans 6:13 says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness of God, unto God." And remember, he has already given himself to us. He's already given himself to us. So this Christmas, what can we give him?
All of us.
All of us. That's what he wants. Relationship with him. Walking in righteousness with him. And Romans 5:8 says, "But God commanded his love towards us in that while we were what?
Yet
sinners, Christ what? He died for us. He didn't say, "Well, you know, old Joe, hell, I don't know about him, you know, I die for everybody else but him." See, he wasn't like that. But y'all know what I mean. There's some people right now
out there
that nobody wants to have no part of. They don't want to go to the trailer parks and give them food. They've given up. They don't want to go to them people that are broken like that that have nothing and give them nothing. But Christ didn't look at no man any different. God don't look at you and I any different.
That's right.
He's no respecter of persons, the Bible says. He's the same yesterday as he is today and he ever will be. You can't work yourself into any kind of different grace than he has. You can't work yourself into getting any more love than he already has for you.
Yes.
What we can do, though, is walk away from him. That's what the enemy wants. He wants to steal your faith. He wants to tell you that, well, you know, you're not this, you're not that. Joe, we've been talking about this a few weeks, haven't we? We're battling not only the enemy, we're battling our own mind, our own conscience, and everything that goes against it. But we've got to stand up and we've got to believe what lives inside of us. We've got to have the power, that same supernatural grace that God has given each and every one of us. The only reason we're weak is because we're not in right standing with God. We have sin in our life that separates us from God, or we're weak. We're weak in our walk. We're weak in our talk. We're weak either in the Word, and we don't know it. We don't know it enough to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan," like Jesus when he was attacked and when he went 40 days without eating, when he was weak as any man ever went. But God led him into that place, into the wilderness. Before he could go into his ministry, he had to face every adversity that man had faced. Not only in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he sweat tears and blood before he went to the cross, he had to face the enemy head on. And what does the enemy come at him with? Food. Because he knows he's weak. What does the enemy come at you and I with? Whatever it is he knows that you're weak in. What area of your life you're weak in. That's what he comes at you with. Not only that, he comes out and he paints the picture of the world and everything around you and says, "Well, you know, that church thing, I don't know about all that." He'll get that painted in your mind to where, you know, you can have everything around you like he told Jesus. "I'll give you all this." He'll send those people in your life that are unhealthy. He'll do everything he can to keep you from what we're talking about, walking in the righteousness of God. I don't know why I had to go there, but I guess I did. Amen? So the last thing is this. So on this Christmas day and the days ahead, let's give him what he truly wants for his birthday. How about that? Everybody, can you say this next year? I'm all in. I know there's some things I've got to change in my life. I know there's some things in my life I can't change. But you know what? Like the Serenity Prayer, I need to have the courage to accept those things I can't change. Right now in my life, I can't change certain things. It's just the way it is. But I can change some things, and I know I have to because God's prompting me to. The Spirit's telling me, "Ronnie, your body is out of whack right now." Mm-hmm. Not just because we're coming up on a fast coming up in January here, but I know I need to not only lose weight, I need to get spiritually stronger. Mm-hmm. Because the more we are in God, the more things that we get involved in, the more adversity we face. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But that's why Paul said, "I count it all joy." How could you be in prison and write half of this testament? Because he was strong in the Lord. He believed this word. He believed what Jesus said. He believed that, yes, he was just like you and I, born of the flesh, but he was also born of the Spirit.
Yes.
Jesus went through everything you and I have to go through and way more. Way more. So, this coming year, 2017, I believe there's something about to break loose in your life. In your life. And God is going to use you guys mightily for the kingdom. Not just for here at Ministry House, but everywhere you go and everything you face and adversities. But it's your part is, am I where I need to be? That's what I'm challenging with this coming 2017 year. Can you pray today and say, am I where I need to be? Yes, I'm doing some good things. But you know what? In Revelation, Jesus told all the churches, he only found one out of all those churches. He said, "I see your deeds to one church, in these things you're doing. But I have this one thing against you. You forgot your first love. Never forget your first love. Everything else can become our loves.
Yes.
And they can become bigger.
Right.
But we got to put Jesus first.
That's right.
He didn't just get born, and we celebrating Christmas, and he didn't just die on a cross. He's alive. Glory to God. He's alive, and he's waiting on you and I. That one day we'll spend eternity with him in paradise.
Amen.
Glory to God. So there ain't no sickness going to get that from me. There ain't no worldly visions going to rob me of that. And I look forward to that. But those things are what we got to draw our strength from. I can do this. I got the shirt now.
That's
he
right.
can do it. He can do it. And you can do it. So I preached a sermon here, was it a year or two back? All in.
Uh-huh.
You know, that had the big poker craze of everybody doing the five card
draw.
Yeah.
Texas Hold'em?
Texas Hold'em, yeah. Everybody's playing. All in. Can you be all in 2017? It's a challenging. It's challenging. You say, well, I don't know. It kind of scares me. But I'm telling you, they're in another life for me. This is it. I live the old life. I don't look back. Can you tear the rear view mirror off the windshield? Can you do that? Quit looking back at the past and look to the future. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I'm going to read this one scripture and we'll close and we'll pray. I got two here. 2 Timothy. I didn't read it, did I? 2 Timothy? I didn't read it, did I? 2:21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Sanctified. What's sanctified?
Set apart,
made whole, and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. How many want to be prepared for every good work of the Lord? So, 2017, let's say, Lord Jesus, what can we give to you? Every day, every week, every minute. It says in the Bible, Paul prayed without ceasing. Some people say, man, I can just barely pray 5 minutes. But it's a lifestyle. That's what it's talking about. It's about a lifestyle. He didn't just go around out praying out loud all the time and stuff. It was a lifestyle. But yet he was always conscious. See, there's the battle in our mind of God, of Jesus. I'm taking him with me everywhere I go. Taking him with. All right, praise God. Anybody got anything that maybe while I was ministering they cut the about what gift would you give Jesus for his birthday today?
Marty, a few minutes ago when you were talking, you said you didn't know why you went there about, you know, how Satan can come out and say, I can give you this, I can give you that, I can give you this. And you said, well, I don't know why I went there. But, you know, when you said that, I thought, well, you know, Satan can give you everything you want.
That's right.
But the problem is, you ain't going to have no peace within.
That's true.
And to me, that's true. What you need, a peace within. You know, you got to have that peace within and, you know, the love of God, you know, God in you to make you. You know, because you don't want that darkness, you know.
That's right. Very good, Sherry. Very good. You know, and it's not about what we want, really. We think it is, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Let's all be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I want this and I want that. It's about what we need.
Right.
And maturity in Christ brings that. And you start learning that, you know, like Paul says, I've learned to be abased and abound in all things. In other words, hey, if I've got $1 million, I'm blessed with that. If I ain't got a penny, I'm still blessed with that. If I'm at, at the end of, in the valley of the shadow of death, like David said, I am blessed with that. And so we have to understand what the blessed life is.
Christianity's gotten to a place where it's like, oh, the woe with me thing. Oh, it's so hard, you know. No, it's not. It's just, you do it. It's something, it's a lifestyle. Just like you get up and go to the bathroom. Or you get up and put your socks and shoes on or anything. It's a lifestyle. And we're blessed because of we just do the obedient things of righteousness. And then God honors and He blesses and He opens doors for us and makes things happen in our life. It's just that a lot of the things we battle with are flesh and blood, and it's not supposed to be that way, is it? Mm-mm. All right. Anybody else? Yes.
I'm not sure if that answered a specific question, but recently some very, very godly woman had a two-hour conversation with me for a next great time. And I said to her, well, I just really want this year to, you know, start reading the Bible and reading the Word. And just through some other conversations I had with another godly woman right here, I learned that I think I know what God wants for us, but I'm sort of making it up in my head. Mm-hmm. And I really can't know that without reading what God says He wants for us. So I said to her, I really want to do this, but I don't know if I have a whole lot of time. I keep trying to fit in time. She says, honey, every morning I get up and I take my 10 minutes for my coffee and I take my 20-minute shower and I do my hair. And I think she goes, I have 20 minutes to do my hair and 10 minutes to do my coffee. And by the time you figure out all the time that you give to these things, she's like, how could I not give at least that same amount of time? Mm-hmm. To the reason I have all these things.
Yeah, very good.
Wow.
Very good.
And I thought, well, yeah, she's right. Uh-huh. So Jesus and I are having coffee every morning.
Very good. Amen.
That's excellent.
And I don't care what happens during a period of time every day, I'm going to be unreachable.
Yep.
Don't bother me with anything. And when I'm in my little section that I'm in now, I have my Bible and my notes and everything, that's just... I'm giving that to Him every day.
Very good.
Start my day with thank you. And I think if I start that, I'm hoping I'll carry some of it with me through the day.
You
absolutely.
Will.
Absolutely. Very good. Thank you for...
We forget how much time we give to other things.
Yes. Right? Thank you for sharing
thank
that,
you.
Zora.
Yes.
You know, and two, there's some things we have to do. Okay? Right? We got to work. We got to do these things. Yeah. And we just do them because we have to. Let's look at it like it's not because we have to, because we want to. Look at the things like we want to do, right? You know, I want to go home and be with my wife and kick back and relax and do those things, right? Joyous things or whatever. I want to go drive my race car when I get my new motor in it, right? I mean, everybody's got something they enjoy. Right? So what will you do to do, what kind of time or what will you do for those things you love and enjoy? And listen, I'm preaching to myself because, listen, it takes falling in love with Jesus.
Yes.
It does.
Yes.
You got to love Him. You got to understand how much He loved you, but glory. And some of us, there's reasons why we can't love.
Yes.
There's reasons why we're struggling with a relationship with God.
Yes.
It's okay, okay? Let me look at you and say that. It's all right to be where you're at, but little by little. It says God will take us from glory to glory to glory. So, whether you like to use word steps or levels or whatever, but it's that way. You start somewhere.
Bible
you're
says,
here.
Line upon line,
precept
upon
precept.
Just one layer at a time.
Yeah.
Start doing it.
And see, like it says in 2 Corinthians, God is, you know, we're all tempted, but we're not tempted above what we're able. Because God is faithful and He's made a way of escape for all of us, or a way that we can bear it. In other words, He's not going to rip the layer off of onion like an onion that you just can't handle it. That's not God. Okay? That's not God doing that. That's either our flesh or the enemy.
or is using both or whatever in our life to try to steal our faith, to try to get you out of fellowship, get you out of church, get you out of place, a relationship with Him. Does that make sense? And so we got to stay close. And when we're weak, He's made strong, it says. The fact, though, is there's sometimes, though, what happens is the reason there's not as many people even here today is because something happens in our life and we quit. We give up. We feel guilty, or we feel embarrassed, or we feel like, well, I just don't want to see anybody. And little by little, I'm telling you, one time you're out, the next time you'll be out, and then it starts getting easier and easier to just say, well, make an excuse. It gets easier to say, well, I just worked so hard this week, I want to just lay in bed today. But trust me, you need to get up, and you've got to still strap on the armor. That's right. And face it and go to the fellowship of believers. That's why it says, forsake not the assembly together. You ain't got to go to church to be a Christian. What you got to do, though, is be a part of the body,
yes,
and it's all joined together.
That's right.
When a tree limb gets broke off, that part is dead and gone forever. It'll die. Eventually, it still has some sap in it. It's still heavy, or you know, a big limb, but it let it lay there on the ground. What happens, Joe?
It
just withers away. Eventually, it gets lighter and lighter and lighter. It's the same way with missing church and being out of the fellowship, missing good breakfasts like this.
It was a great breakfast.
Right? Is this all right? I love every one of y'all. I love you, Heather. We missed you. Glad you're back. Love every one of y'all. And I just want to bless y'all before you go today and your families. And I know there's some prayer requests come up. Our son Joshua's a boy he's been living with. His mother died of cancer today on Christmas.
Oh, no.
Young man, what is he, 20-ish?
He's like mid-25, 26.
Devastating. Mm-hmm. Listen, we're blessed. Mm-hmm. We're really blessed, everyone in this room, to be here. We all got stuff. And I know some of you is hurting, okay? But God is the only one that can help us. He's the only one that and our family, our church family, those that will encourage you, keep be there with you, cry with you, laugh with you, cook you breakfast.
Amen.
Yeah. Supper.
Party, I mean, with you on
party,
New Year's Eve.
Party, New Year's karaoke, whatever we do. I just want y'all to know that God loves you and we love you. Me and Penny love y'all so much.
Yes.
And honored, but I'm excited about what God's about to do in some of y'all's life. I see solid Christianity here, okay? Trust me, I've been in this a long time. I don't want to build no huge building or some kind of big church because I don't get a salary, okay? Penny don't get... Do you get a salary? I don't know if you...
I make 10 times as much as you make.
Mine's going to be in heaven, okay? Amen. And the Lord, I'm so honored and blessed to just be a part of it, you know? And it's so, just seeing the progress in you guys'
yes.
life, just sometimes when I start praying for each one of y'all off my prayer list, I weep, I cry for you, I travail with you when you don't even know it as your pastor. And then sometimes some of you might want to run from me because I, right, Joe? Because I'm straight out. It's just who I am. I don't hold back, but if I tell you something, it's all in love. Okay?
That's what we
mean. Yeah.
Now,
that's the problem with pastors today. They're more worried about building a building or a big tithe base. And, hey, we got gas. We got power. We, you know, we got hardwood floors. They're fake, but they're good.
But
guess what? I want to share this. I've got a guy working on the plans. He's sketching them out for us today. I'm excited about it. An actual architect, not me. You know, I drew out the skin. So, I'm ready to go get the permit for our side building. Does that make you excited? It does me. I can't do this. And y'all look around and say, well, I don't know if I can do it. Then you will. We can't. He can, though.
That's right.
He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, the Bible says. He owns it all. So we're going to trust God with it. I'm going to have the plans, and I'm going to get the permit, and we're going to believe God. We're going to get started. Because we need that build on, so that this place is full of children. It's full of teens on one night. It's full of single adults one night in that side too. And we can continue to grow. And every week we get calls from people all over wanting to come to CR and everything. And so I know it's not going to be a problem for God. The problem's going to be for me.
Amen.
You know, it has been now for holding back for a little over 2 years. And not wanting to jump in there with a hammer and start knocking walls out and things. So, but I believe this is going to be the season. All right, everybody good. We're going to pray over. Yes, Trella.
I just want to say, everybody here, thank y'all for welcoming me and my son and just opening up y'all's arms for us. And we're very grateful.
Oh, well, we love you. We're so glad to be with us, sister.
That's the whole thing, y'all. We're building this church. You know, when you've got a really big church, people can come in, they can sit in the back pew, they leave. It can be something you check off on your list. People who come here have to actually get involved with Ronnie and I. We know what's going on in your life. We're going to put input into it. We're going to be here for you. We've got a one-on-one ministry because we want to see you guys built up in Jesus.
That's right.
That's the most important thing. See you become solid Christians. And we are so proud of you guys, what we're seeing. You're coming back. You're building your relationship with God. You're not giving up. You're working through some of the hardest things you've ever been through in your lives, and you're not stopping. Mm-hmm. I could not be more proud of you if you were my physical children.
Amen.
So just know we love you, and you are our children, and we are there for you. Okay, and there's nothing you can ever do that would make us turn you away.
That's right. Okay. Or love you any different.
That's
okay.
Right.
Well, we're going to close here in 3 minutes over. I was quit though. I just got emotional. 12. I was quit.
And also, what he did not
now
bring
it's her
up
fault.
Is Ron had a phone call at 2:30 in the morning. You want to share?
Yeah, my mother fell. And there's just one of those calls when you see your dad or your mother or family member at the middle of the night, you know, there's just nothing there. Reminds me of December of getting a call when my sister had been in a car wreck and got killed in a car wreck. And that same time, it took me many years. I'm still recovering, okay, from that, but you get those calls, and she fell, and so Daddy's panicked. He couldn't get her up, and so I had to go over there at 2:30 in the morning. But thank the Lord she didn't break a hip, or I know she's bruised up. I'm fixing to go over there and love on her some more, but, yeah, she needs prayer. It's one of the hardest things to watch your parents, hurting her. And she's basically, Daddy broke down. We went off Fridays. We turn wrenches or do something together a little bit. And we know we got a short time to do even the racing thing together, but he broke down and says, it's killing him to sit there and watch her. She just sitting there dying. And that's tough. It's tough. Jerry, you know about it. All of us have to face it where our parents, you know, some that we have them and some never had parents. It's worse than I've been blessed, but it is hard right now. But I'm just thankful she's She's
So have you prayed for Ronnie, y'all? Is this really, really hard on Ronnie?
Yeah, I met a mama's boy. Oh, that's right, Joe. You ain't mama's boy. All right. Well, today, I'm going to let Joe bless our offering. Would you like to do that? And then I'll pray a blessing over y'all, and we'll go. Thank y'all for all your blessings. That help me remember. We need to look at the tank and see if, how much fuel gas we got. We probably need to order us a new tank of gas coming up these cold months. But I'm proud of this boy right here.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Appreciate it.
And God's got big, big plans for everybody in this room. And this, Joe's going to be preaching here before long. I ain't putting no pressure on him. He already knows it.
He's not going to be able to not preach. Let's just put it this way.
I heard last week you kind of got the spirit a little bit there. Yeah. Praise and worship. And
yeah.
I'm thankful that God is opening him up like this. It's hard, I know. Well, but won't you pray over often, Joe, and then I want to say a quick blessing.
Right. Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being able to come here today on your son Jesus' birthday. We thank you and give you all the honor and glory for us being able to be here and have Christmas, have presents, have a good fellowship and food. And
yes.
We just pray that you'll bless the offering, and so we can have gas and lights and a good warm place to come and praise and worship you, Lord.
That's
and,
right. Thank you.
And bless each and every person's finance here that is able to give and willing to give for you, Lord, and just give us your grace and mercy over these holiday seasons, and we just give you all the honor and praise and glory for being able to be here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Father, now bless this congregation, Lord, for the rest of their day as they celebrate your birthday, and they go with family, and Lord, not always is it great with family. Some of us, we know that some things are hard. But, Lord, we just pray that same peace that would rest on them. And some of them's probably just exhausted and been up like me half the night or whatever going on. But, Lord, let this day be a day of rest in you and with their families. Now, bless their finances as this close of this year, and as the new year comes, Lord, may every adjustment we all need to make, Lord, give us the strength to do it, and help us, Lord, guide us and lead us into the right path we need to go in the new seasons, the things we face in our fast coming up, and things, God, speak to our heart what you want us to sacrifice for you, God, and lay ourselves at the altar and Lord, travail to you move in our life, in all our lives. And God, now I bless everyone here, and God, and bless their finances. I bless their jobs, their homes, their families, their health. And in Jesus' name, you be all the glory. Amen.
Amen.